A prayer as we stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we've been able to give, and we pray especially that this giving may lead to people in countries who would never hear the gospel to hear it via satellite TV, and a great increase in the ministry to the young people of Weyburn, Saskatchewan, and great encouragement to James and Millie. Now open your word to us, we pray, and speak from it to us and to our church, to your glory. Amen. Well, please sit down and take the Bible again, if you would, and turn in the New Testament section to page 171. That's to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, page 171 towards the back of the Bible. As usual, on the screen, an outline of this talk, and if it helps you to take notes, then do by all means take the notebook and the pencil and just write from there. Incidentally, if you're a mum or dad here with children and they've scribbled all over the books, that's great, but please just rip it out beforehand so that people find a clean book as they come to take notes later on. If I mentioned speaking in tongues, I wonder what you would think. Some of you perhaps have never heard of it and don't know what it means. Others of you may have been praying with someone or been in a Christian group, and you've become aware that the words being said are not in English or in any other language that you recognize, but are not in gibberish either. And when you ask a friend, they say, he was praying in tongues. And then some of you have been given this gift and use it in your own private praying. The Bible has a great deal to say about the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. It has a lot to say about what we may call ordinary prayer. It has only a little to say about speaking in tongues. But here we are in our careful working through the book of 1 Corinthians. We've come to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and this whole chapter is devoted to that subject. And so in our exploration of 1 Corinthians, we come to it today. Let me say at the outset that there are two common mistakes about this. One is to think that speaking in tongues is weird and a bit frightening, that we should steer clear of it. But no, St. Paul is quite clear, it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 12, verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And then as part of a list of gifts, towards the end of verse 10, to another is given various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. No gift of the Holy Spirit will be weird, nor will it be frightening. The second mistake is to think that speaking in tongues is the sign of being filled with the Spirit. In the 70s, the 1970s and 80s, people often asked, "Do you have the gift of tongues?" And if the answer was no, then you were rather looked down on. You were obviously a rather poor Christian, not filled with the Spirit. And just occasionally you find that attitude still today. But St. Paul makes it clear that God only gives this gift to some people. Look at chapter 12, verse 30. Do all possess gifts of healing? He's obviously saying no. Do all speak in tongues? Certainly not. Do all interpret? You can certainly be full of the Spirit and not speak in tongues, and you can have the gift of tongues and not be full of the Spirit, as you can see from chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, then far from being filled with the Spirit, I'm just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So if those are common mistakes, what does 1 Corinthians chapter 14 teach? And in particular, what is speaking in tongues? Well, have you ever wanted to pray to Jesus, but you just don't know how to put it? Has your heart been full of praise to God, but you can't find the words to express your thanks to him? It's for those circumstances that God gives to some people, not to all, but to some, the gift of using another language, which you don't yourself understand in detail, but which circumvents the need for words that you put together yourself. That is the gift of tongues. It is, says the Apostle Paul in his teaching, one way of praying or praising or giving thanks. Look at chapter 14, verse 2. For those who speak in a tongue do not speak to other people, but to God, for nobody understands them since they're speaking mysteries in the Spirit. When you speak in a tongue, you're speaking to God, that is, you're praying. Nobody else understands the sounds you utter. You don't understand the detail of your prayer yourself, but the Holy Spirit is giving you mysterious words to help you pray. Turn over the page and now look at verse 14. Paul says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive. We think with our mind, our spirit is more intuitive. A person praying in tongues is not, says Paul, actively exercising his mind. But both are important. Spiritual intuition and a Christian mind. And so, Paul, in prayer and praise, uses both. Verse 15. What should I do then? I will pray with the spirit, but I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit. He means singing in tongues, but I will sing praise with the mind also, as we've all done several times during this service. And in my experience, those who have the gift of tongues do both. Normally, they pray or praise or sing using their mind in ordinary Christian words. And sometimes they also pray or praise or sing using the gift of tongues. This gift is normally for private use. Turn back to page 171 and look with me at verses 2 to 4. Those who speak in a tongue do not speak to other people but to God, for nobody understands them since they're speaking mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, those who prophesy speak to other people for their building up and encouragement and consolation. Those who speak in a tongue build up themselves, but those who prophesy build up the church. If you speak publicly in tongues, no one else will understand you. If you speak in tongues, you don't in any way build up others in the church. And so, if you turn over the page to page 172, Paul says in verse 19, nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind, he means again in the normal language of people can understand, in order to instruct others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. It's a matter of thinking of others, wanting to help others. Normally, unless tongues are interpreted, this gift is for private use, says Paul, not for a Christian gathering. In fact, he says it is positively unhelpful in public for unbelievers. Look down to verse 23. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your mind? That's why we don't encourage the gift of tongues publicly on Sundays or on Fridays at Thirsty. It's a great joy to us that people who are unsure about Christianity, who don't yet believe, are here every week. Public speaking in tongues might make them think we are really odd, says the Apostle Paul. And we don't want to do anything to put a stumbling block in the way of thinking about and finding Christ. But also, it's a gift to be grateful for. Look at verse 18. Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. He isn't for a moment trying to stop people having and using this gift. He is saying in this chapter, it's less important than the Corinthians think, because they made a big thing of speaking in tongues. He's saying in chapter 12 that it's certainly not a gift God gives to everyone, but to those who have it, it is a gift to be welcomed and rejoiced in, a gift for which, says verse 18, to thank God profoundly, and to use, if we have it, especially in our private praise and prayer. And there are, says chapter 14, more important gifts. Gifts that use our own language to serve God. So why, according to this chapter, is speaking God's word in our normal language, in our case in English, why is that better? A more important gift? We'll turn back to page 171. And St. Paul here contrasts speaking in tongues with bringing God's word to people in language they understand. Look at verse 6. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you? Unless I speak to you in some revelation or knowledge or prophecy, or teaching. He mentions here several ways of bringing God's word. Revelation is when God shows a person some truth about God or about ourselves. Knowledge is when a person knows the Bible so well he can show us the parts of God's word that are relevant to our situation. Prophecy is when God gives someone a message to pass on to his people. And teaching is when God gifts a person to explain what the Bible means. Now, all of these are ways of speaking God's word. And for most of this chapter, Paul takes one of them, prophecy, and contrasts it with speaking in tongues. He says again and again, speaking God's word in ordinary language, in our case in English, sorry Maya, in Serbo-Croat for you, is better, more important than speaking in tongues. Well, why? Because speaking God's word plainly helps others. Look at verses 2 and 3. Of chapter 14. Those who speak in a tongue do not speak to other people but to God, for nobody understands them, since they're speaking mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, those who prophesy speak to other people for their building up and encouragement and consolation. If I get into the pulpit and speak in tongues to you, you won't understand anything. If I bring the word of God to you, Your faith will grow. Paul says people will be built up. You'll be encouraged. You'll be helped. That's the main reason why people come to church week by week, to hear the word of God. And speaking God's word not only helps individuals, it builds up the church. You can see that in verses 4 and 5. Those who speak in a tongue build up themselves, but those who prophesy build up the church. Now, I would like all of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. One who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Speaking in tongues is just for my own benefit, normally. Speaking God's word transforms and grows a whole church. And Paul, of course, is not talking at all just about the preacher. He's talking about the Christian sharing what he has found from the Bible in the house group. He's talking about what junior church leaders are doing right now, teaching the Bible to children. He's talking about one Christian answering the doubts or the problems of another person by bringing them the word of God. So turn over the page to page 172. Paul says to all of us in verse 12, so with yourselves, since you are eager for spiritual gifts, strive to excel in them for building up the church. In other words, all of us can want to bring God's word to others to build up the church. And then again, speaking God's word, whether as I'm doing now in preaching or as you can do to one another in a moment over coffee, instructs people who are already Christians. Look at verse 19. Nevertheless, he says, in church I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Often, people have shown me some truth they've discovered in the Bible, or texted me with a part of God's word, or written some of God's word in a letter to me, and I have learned, I've been instructed and helped. If you're a Christian, the same has almost certainly happened to you. And then speaking God's word in plain English shows unbelievers that God is among us. Look now at verses 24 and 25. But if all prophesy, an unbeliever or outsider who enters the church, this is reproved by all and called to account by all. After the secrets of the unbeliever's heart are disclosed, that person will bow down before God and worship him, declaring God is really among you. People who are not yet Christians have come to All Saints, they've listened to the sermon and said, how does he know all that about me? Has someone been telling him about the details of my life? And then it dawns, no, it's just that the word of God, the Bible, is speaking directly to me. God is really in this place. Or someone you know comes to church one Sunday and you see them across the church and you go up to them afterwards and invite them to have some coffee and cake afterwards. And over coffee, you get talking about Jesus, and you feel that God is giving you some particular words to say. And as you say these things, your friend is clearly moved, and she says, I can really tell God is with you. I'd love to know how God can be with me, too. I haven't been able to cover every verse of 1 Corinthians 14, 1 to 25, but I have given you, I think, the heart of it, where Paul compares and contrasts two gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of speaking in tongues and the gift of bringing God's word to people in our own language, whether by revelation, by knowledge, by prophecy, or by teaching. So what are we to take away from this chapter? Well, let us praise God for whatever helps us pray. We're human beings created in the image of God. We are made to praise God and to pray. Has God given you the gift of tongues? Then praise God for his generosity to you, and in your own private praying and praise, use it to give him the praise and to pray to him in a way that with your own words sometimes they falter and you just need that help and can use that gift. Has he not given you the gift of tongues? I've in my life asked several times for God to give me the gift of tongues and he hasn't given it to me. Well, praise God for what does help you to pray. It may be a book of prayers. I remember Edward England giving to me one time a book called A Diary of Private Prayer. And for a time, I used it every evening to help me to pray. I praise God for that. Praise God for using song to pray to him. On Fridays, on my prayer list, I always give thanks for the cross. And just avoid me on Fridays as I walk across the playing fields around Beacon to pray, because very likely I'll be singing a song by John Edison, At the Cross of Jesus, Pardon is Complete. I won't sing it to you now, but I do then. Pardon is complete. That song helps me immensely to give thanks for the cross. Praise God for a place. If you're someone who can pray in the car, thank God for that. I wish I could do it. I can't at all. But I know some of you can. Praise God if you find it helpful to go on Ashdown Forest with a dog and to pray during that time. Let's give thanks for any way that God helps us and gives us to help us pray. And then secondly and lastly, let's praise God for whatever brings God's word and builds up us and others, builds up the church. Praise God for preachers who open God's word to us. We have a variety of preachers here at All Saints. You may find that a particular sermon or a particular preacher is not very helpful. And you go away from here and you think, oh, groans, Andrew again. You know, I never find his sermons helpful. And as you go out and get your coffee, somebody says to you, that was a really helpful sermon. I was really helped by that. Well, be surprised, but also praise God. Give thanks to God that he speaks to different ones of us through different parts of the Bible and through different preachers. Praise God for the person who comes to you and says, I've been praying about you, and as I've prayed, I've thought increasingly that I ought to say something to you, because I believe God may be saying to you that he's calling you into full-time Christian work. Well, I believe God may be calling you to be a house group leader. Now, of course, if somebody comes up to you and says that, you can't just say automatically, well, of course, that must be God. If you look down at verse 29, which we'll come to later on, not today, but another Sunday, it says that when prophets speak, we've got to weigh what's said. We've got to think to ourselves, is this really from God or is it not? But it may well be. Praise God for anyone from whom you've heard God's word. Praise God for the house group leader who skillfully leads you with questions to explore the Bible more deeply and to understand it. Praise God when you read a part of the Bible in your own quiet time, and as you read, you feel that's so relevant to a friend of yours, and you pass it on to him or her, and he's so grateful for it. Many of you will know Phil Gaisford, who's in prison at the moment, a member of our church family. When he first went into prison, and I've been very bad at this, much better than John T. and several others, I wrote him a letter, and during it, I passed on a verse from the book of Isaiah. Every time he telephones me, he thanks me for that verse. Now, I hope I did pray before I wrote. I certainly thought. I wrote it down, and God spoke to him. Thank God for that. And thank God for how he can use you in a letter you write or a telephone conversation you have. God's gifts to us, his church, are many and various. But the most important gifts, says Paul, are those which in one way or another bring God's word to others. And that gift, God may give to any Christian. He may certainly give it to you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gifts that you lavish on us, the church. We praise you for the gift of speaking in tongues and every single way in which you help any of us to pray and sing and praise you. We praise you for the gifts of revelation and knowledge and prophecy and teaching, for every way that brings God's word to us. And we pray that we may listen for that word. And where it's not directly from the Bible, that we may weigh and see whether it is indeed of you or whether it's not. We pray that you would gift us, each one of us, to pass on the word of God to others. And we ask this to the building up of your church and the glory of your name. Amen. Let me just say.